Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Very interesting readings this weekend. You know, we don't have to go far into history to find where the religious community has gotten some things wrong. It doesn't take a trip back into the centuries, it only takes a trip back in a couple of decades to realize that the church has made, or those who speak for the church, I should say, not that we talked about this in Bible study, we don't want to lump all of the church in behind one particular person, but the world does, and so we'll kind of look at it from their perspective for a minute. If we go back to the 80s, and when AIDS made its first debut and became an epidemic, the church, along with others, condemned AIDS as a punishment for those who were homosexual, that it was God's judgment that they get AIDS and die. They deserve it. I think they kind of got it wrong. A little bit later, we had Hurricane Katrina, and we heard once again God's judgment on New Orleans for all of its sinfulness, rampant sinfulness in New Orleans. I think the church got it wrong on that one too. And then more recently, 9/11, that was judgment on all of the United States for all of its rampant sinfulness and turning away from God. Then that was God punishing the United States. I think they got it wrong. There's a lot of times the church has entered into a stance of judgment over things happening that they got wrong. Jesus talks to his disciples because they think the same way. When they say, well, what about those Galileans that had their blood mixed with Pilate's sacrifices? They must have been horribly sinful Galileans to have that kind of judgment from God. What did they do? They were worse than all the other Galileans. Or what about those 18 that the Tower of Siloam fell on? Well, they must have been horrible sinners to have the tower fall on them and crush them and kill them. Jesus says, no, you got it wrong. Were those Galileans more sinful than the others? No. Was New Orleans more sinful than Las Vegas? No. Was it more sinful than Eugene? No. Was it more sinful than your house, your family, your home? No. Is the United States more sinful than any other nation around the world? No. Not. Jesus is very clear about our position as Christians, as those followers of Jesus, as to how we're supposed to view this. And his response is much the same as it is throughout the rest of the Gospels. You worry about you. And I know that's hard for us to hear, because a lot of times we want to be involved in all of the things going on out there, but you worry about you. He says, unless you repent, you're likewise going to perish. So worry about you. The Old Testament reading is the same, where the watchman stands up there and says, hey, you got some stuff going on, and if you turn from your ways, you're going to live. If you don't turn from your ways, you're going to die. Well, we all know we all live, we all die. So what is it that Jesus is calling us to? Is he calling us to judge the actions of those around us? No. Now, that's not to say that we excuse, ignore, or pay no attention to the things going on around us. We do. We have to. We live in the world around us. We can't cloister ourselves somewhere behind walls and say, well, we will have nothing to do with the world, because that doesn't work. So yes, we pay attention. We look at the world around, and when we see something that is horribly wrong, we say something. But we don't get to take the position of the judge. That's not ours. Ours is, as Ezekiel said, the watchman. We do speak against things that are wrong in our world around us. We do take a stance and maybe protest in certain ways, in certain forms, but we don't get to stand at the judge's seat and say, you live, you die, because you are good and you are bad. It's not our place. It's way above our pay grade in any case. So the word from Jesus today is, I know a lot of people driving in Eugene don't like road signs. It's because they don't pay attention to them. But it's a U-turn. The word for repent is to turn away back from. So the call for us today, for me and you, individually and collectively as the church gathered in this place, as the body of Christ assembled here, is repent. What do you need to repent of? Well, you know. I don't know what each individual here needs to repent of. But I do know, as a human species, we need to repent of our judgment of others, not in the sense, again, of approving of or condoning all sorts of sinful behavior. We don't go that far, but what we do is we look here first. We look here first. So the word for us today is repent. Turn away from the sin that so clouds up and clogs up our hearts, that causes us to withdraw from all sorts of engagement because we are judging others. Or maybe we are casting stones when we don't have stones to cast. So the word is repentance. It's for you and for me both. I don't stand up here again. I'm not standing up here as judge because I don't get that place. I just call us all out of our sinfulness to turn from our ways and repent. And sometimes we might think, well, maybe I don't really have anything to repent of. I mean, I haven't done anything really bad. I'm a nice person. Well, yeah, great. There's still sin. There's still spots, there's still stuff in our hearts and in our lives that we need to turn away from. And sometimes we need to physically turn away from something we are up to, doing, engaged in. We need to walk away from it. Repentance looks different in different ways. Sometimes it's simply a return to something that we knew we should be doing in the first place. But it's the call as Jesus looks at his disciples who are standing there with judgment in their hearts and in their minds. And he says, you, Peter, you, James, you, John, you, Matthew, you, Mark, all of you guys, repent. Don't worry about them. God is working how he's working. You, repent. Don't judge those 18 that the tower fell on. It's not God's judgment on them. You repent. Make that U-turn. Turn from those ways of death and destruction to ways of peace and life. And the Holy Spirit works He works in our lives. And I know I've talked about this before, but sometimes that work of the Holy Spirit is a holy 2x4 upside our heads to get us to turn around and look where we should have been looking at in the first place, to the cross of Christ, his work on that cross for you and for me. We repent of all of our things that we think we ought to do better, and we repent and we say, we're sorry for our sins. And Jesus, in his work on the cross, said, it's finished. It's done. The forgiveness is yours. The grace is yours. The mercy of God is yours, because Jesus took all of that on the cross, all of the pain and suffering and judgment, innocent judgment on Jesus as he hung on the cross by those who thought they knew better. And he did that for you, for me. So today we are called to repentance and to faith. Faith in the words, you are forgiven. Faith in the words, go and sin no more. Faith in the words, we have newness of life in Christ. Faith in the words, my body and my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for the promise of eternal life. So repent and live. Repent and embrace the gifts God has for us today. And may his grace continue to shine on us, to fill us with hope and joy and peace and love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, all of those things. But most importantly, may he fill us, continue with his Spirit, so that we can take that to others and share that love and that grace and that hope and that peace and that joy and all of that with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and protect our hearts always in the one true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.